G'day, and welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast. I'm your host, Graham Curry, from Perth, Australia. I lost 60 kilos or 132 pounds living an intermittent fasting lifestyle and have successfully maintained that weight loss now for over a year. I wanted to bring this series of podcasts to you to give you an insight into what that journey has been like. I also wanted to give you some information about intermittent fasting, talk to people that are doing it, and bring in some experts in the field, including some leading authors of some great books about the subject. Talk about the highs, the lows, the triumphs, the celebrations, the negatives, the positives, and everything in between. Nothing is a silver bullet, as they say, but intermittent fasting is about the closest thing that you can get to a perfect health plan with a side effect of weight loss. So sit back in the next few weeks and enjoy life on the fasting highway with us. Thank you. G'day, welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast, and this is episode 22. So today I'm enjoying the company of Bill J. McKinney, and Bill is from Denver, Colorado, where he works as a karate teacher and by day is a stay-at-home dad to three kids. And Bill suffered a bit of a health setback on the side of a mountain, which he'll tell you about in this podcast, which led him to intermittent fasting. So here to tell us all about that journey today is the engaging Bill McKinney. Oh, g'day, Bill, and welcome to the Fasting Highway, and thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Graham. Glad to be able to connect with you and chat with you finally.
Yeah, thanks, mate. So, Bill, what we might do, if you don't mind, if we could just get a bit of your backstory, what led you up to intermittent fasting and how you actually found out about it.
Absolutely. So I actually, I've been overweight pretty much my entire life since I was 7 or 8 years old as a kid. And lots of kind of health issues and things like that as a kid. I used to get bronchitis and pneumonia as a kid, at least two or three times a year. And because of that, I had asthma and didn't have a lot of activity and was really by the time I was 8 years old, I was obese. And, that just kind of lasted through my whole life, no matter what I did, no matter how active I was or what kind of exercise or diet I was on. I was able to lose weight sometimes, but most of the time I was just big and heavy and kind of accepted that that's just where I was. And the person I was going to be was that big person. What really led me to finding IF was in September of 2019. I had a really awesome, what I would call a healthy year. I was still overweight, but I was running a lot. I was hiking a ton, and I was doing a couple 14ers over the course of September in 2019. And for anybody not sure, a 14er is a mountain peak in Colorado. There's 52 of them that are 14,000 feet above sea level. And so I was on my way down from one of the peaks of a hike I had done, and my heart rate went really high, and I had trouble breathing. My arms and my chest went numb, and I thought I was having a heart attack. But there was nobody around, so I made my way to the bottom. I made my way back to my car, drove to town that way, and ended up calling my wife, who called 911 and had an ambulance sent to me. But the big thing that happened that came of it was doctors, they ran all kinds of tests, pulmonology tests, EKGs, other heart tests. And every time they ran a test, they came back and they said, nope, everything's fine. Everything's in normal range. And I said, I don't think you understand. You might have a range of normal for heart rate, but my normal heart rate is resting heart rate is 55 beats per minute. And right now my resting heart rate is 99 beats per minute. And I don't care what the normal range is. That's not normal. But they couldn't figure it out. And I ended up going to a naturopath doctor who did a food allergy test and came back and said that I was intolerant to gluten and dairy. And she was fairly confident that the intolerance was causing inflammation, and the inflammation was affecting my lungs and my heart. And that the reason the doctors couldn't diagnose it was that every time I went in for a test, I was fasted. And so it was lower in that range. And those foods were out of my system when I went, every time I went to the doctor. So that they just couldn't figure it out. So I ended up pushing through. I removed gluten and dairy from my diet. And within 3 weeks, my breathing was completely back to normal. My heart rate was back in the 50s when I was resting. And I felt like myself again. And what led me to finding IF or intermittent fasting was, I started questioning what else is my doctor wrong about? And I was like, it's a ridiculous question to think to yourself, but you know, these are the people that are trained and paid to tell us how to take care of ourselves. But I started Googling, I literally Googled the question, what is my doctor wrong about? And about 2.5 hours into the rabbit hole, I came across a little bit of vague information about fasting. And I thought, oh, well, that's what this other doctor said. Every time I went to the doctor, I was fasted. So it was just like it clicked in my head. I was like, okay, well, so I started out fasting from there. I wasn't clean fasting in the beginning. And I didn't really know anything about it at all. I just said, you know what, I'm gonna try something, see if I can drop a few more pounds and maybe feel a little bit better. Still expecting, like, I'm still gonna be this big guy who does these really active things that I do.
You were always quite an active guy, Bill, even though you're overweight then.
Yeah, I started martial arts training when I was 12. My grandmother signed me up because she was tired of me getting bullied. And both physically, verbally, emotionally bullied and picked on by the kids at school. And she wanted me to learn how to fight so that I could stop the bullies and get them to leave me alone. Little did she know she was signing me up for something that was going to completely change my outlook on life. I never had to fight anybody in school. I never, once I started training in martial arts, my confidence just skyrocketed. But I found in martial arts, I found that there was no judgment of my size because people of all different sizes and health levels do martial arts. So nobody ever said you're too big to do martial arts. Everybody said, this is what you have to, if you want to do this technique, you have to use your body this way because you're this size, this shape, this, you know, so on and so forth. Since I started that, you know, when I was 12, I've always been active. Even when I had some, you know, less positive health choices, I was always active.
So, Bill, when you started finding intermittent fasting, how did you work out what your fasting protocol was going to be? How did you actually choose that?
Yeah. So I had literally no idea what I was doing. I started, like I said, I just found some really vague information on the internet. And I was like, okay, I'm just not going to eat anything after 7 p.m. And I started with that and had pretty good success right from the beginning. And I know, you know, most of it was probably water weight and that kind of stuff. But right in the first 2 weeks, I lost about 5 pounds just by not eating after 7 o'clock. And then I said, okay, I want to know a little bit more about this before I push in. But I was having a really hard time in the mornings. I would stop eating at 7. I'd wake up and I was super hungry. Didn't feel good. I was lethargic. And I was like, oh, this isn't that much fun. I don't know if I'm going to be able to stick with this. But I asked a couple of friends who had talked about fasting before, just kind of briefly in conversations. And I sent them some messages on Facebook and through text. And I said, hey, I think I'm doing this fasting thing that you were talking about, but I'm not sure. Where do I go to learn more and make sure I'm doing it right? Because I don't feel good. And the three people that I asked all came back and said, Delay, Don't Deny by Jim Stevens. They said, just get the book and read it. It makes total sense. You'll understand it. And you'll be able to fix the issues that you're having with your fasts. So I went straight to Audible and I got the audio version and I listened to it. I think it took me like 4 hours. So I think I listened to it in about 2 days. And I was like, okay, that makes more sense. And, you know, in Delay, Do Not Delay, Don't Deny, she talks a little bit, but doesn't really, the clean fast isn't really part of that book yet. It's not part of that information. So I still didn't get it, but then I joined the Facebook group, the big, you know, the 300,000 member Jim Stevens group, and everybody, and it was right around the time that Fast, Feast, Repeat was coming out. So I pre-ordered Fast Feast Repeat, and as soon as that came in, I listened to that, and I was like, okay, the clean fast. That's, and I started. I said, okay, no more, because I wasn't eating after seven, but I was still having a beer or still having a soda or something, you know, and I just didn't know that that's what was holding me back. As soon as I cut out to just straight water after 7 p.m., I woke up the very next morning and I was like, I'm not hungry and I feel good. Okay, well, let's just skip breakfast today.
Yes.
And so I started there. I started really, I think I skipped 16:8 once I started clean fasting and went straight into 18:6. And then just within a few weeks, it just kept getting to a shorter and shorter window. And me feeling so much better when I wasn't eating that it just kept changing and kind of, you know, like she says, tweak it till it's easy. That's just what I was doing. So for the most part now, I do a 24 or 20 and 4. And that's where I feel really good. So that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah. So you found that sweet spot by trial and error, tweaking it, as you say, until it was easy.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the early days, Bill, did you sort of have many struggles with IF, like mentally?
Not really. And I credit my martial arts training to a lot of my mindset. There's nothing that I can't accomplish. And there's absolutely nothing physical or mental that I can't overcome with enough time and proper technique. So, and that's all from martial arts training. Like I said, if I wanted to do a jump spinning hook kick at 300 pounds, I did it. It took me a while longer to learn it than it took most people to learn it, because I had to learn how to move 300 pounds in a 360 degree circle. But when it came to IF, I just said, you know, my general mentality on everything, but when it came to IF, I just said, this is what I'm doing. I'm not eating after seven. I'm not drinking anything but water after seven. And the next step after that was I'm not eating breakfast or break fast until 10 a.m. period. You know, it's got to be a really special occasion. So I didn't have any big struggles as far as, you know, overcoming. I'd say that the biggest struggles were in the first few weeks when I wasn't clean fasting. And I was a little bit discouraged, even though I was losing a decent amount of weight for only 2 weeks. You know, get a little bit discouraged when you wake up in the morning and you just don't feel good and you're hungry and you're like, oh, at first I was like, I don't know if this is going to work or not. But I started listening to as many podcasts as I could. I read books. I listened to Dr. Fung's The Obesity Code, and I just started absorbing the information, and I just started applying my martial arts mentality to my IF lifestyle. And it really, not many struggles at all. I'd say there were a few times before my wife started doing it that, you know, she'd be having a snack after seven. And I was like, oh man, those chips, that popcorn, whatever, looks really good. But after that, once she started, and now we're both, we're both on track to our goals and doing awesome with it. So yeah, not physical struggles and mental struggles. There really weren't many. It's really easier than people think it's going to be.
So you applied your karate training to your IF lifestyle and drew on that mental strength that you need for that sort of karate training. And Bill, so with your weight, mate, let's just talk about that for a second. What was your weight like when you started IF? And just tell people how tall you are and that sort of thing.
Okay, so I am I'm 5'10". I used to be 5'10" and 3/4". And the last time I went to my doctor, they said I was 5'10". I'm hoping for some autophagy benefits to kick in and improve my posture, help me improve my posture and get that 3/4 inch back. But 5'10". Like I said, the year before, I had some serious health issues that lasted almost 6 months, and I was on my way. I was down to 200 pounds, and I was back up to 225 when I started fasting. And I was at, 225, and I just knew, like I float between this 220 to 260 pound range about every 3 years is my cycle. You know, I get really motivated and I go from 260 to 220, maybe 210, and I maintain that for about a month, and then it starts to creep back up. So with the health issues and not being able to do the physical stuff that I love doing, it was and still eating whatever I wanted all day long, it was on its way back up, and I knew that if I didn't stop, I would be back up to at least 260. But with the breathing issues I was having, I was really concerned because I know I because I've been 300 pounds. My highest weight was 306 pounds back in 2006. And I knew that that's the trajectory I was on. I wasn't going back up to 260. I knew if I couldn't fix my breathing and my health issues, I was going to go to 260, 275, 290, 300. And it was probably just going to keep going from there. So I had that mindset that I had to do something.
It was interesting, Bill, you mentioned earlier there about the tipping point where you thought to yourself that, hey, I'm just going to be this big guy and I'm still going to get out and be active and walk mountains and do all that sort of thing. But you almost accepted that. And I think a lot of people that carry a lot of weight, they do get to that point in life where you just think that mountain is too high to climb, don't you?
You really do. And it goes all the way back to my childhood and being picked on and bullied by my peers. I learned at a very young age that if I make fun of myself, it makes other people uncomfortable and they're less likely to make fun of me. And that stuck through with me, even through all my martial arts training and all the, you know, the physical stuff that I've done, it stuck through with me. And several years ago, I remembered as I was kind of going through notes and stuff, thinking about this chat, I used to refer to myself as a fat athlete. That's, you know, fat athlete kind of smushed together. And yeah. I would tell people like, oh, you know, people would look at me, I'm 300 pounds. And I go, yeah, I'm a third degree black belt in karate. And I hike mountains and, you know, I ran a half marathon back in 2012 and I did it at 40 pounds and I was a pack a day smoker at the time. But I did it. I ran the half marathon and, you know, but I would joke with people and I would make jokes like that, like, oh yeah, I'm a fat athlete or, you know, I'm functionally fat or, you know, I would say, I'm going to go do this really big hike this weekend. And then I would automatically, before anybody had a chance to respond, start justifying that outside of my weight, I'm super healthy.
Yeah.
I was at that point where, you know, I was ready to, I own my own karate school. So the only option for me to stop doing karate, even if I weigh 400 pounds, is to close my school. And I love karate too much. So, you know, I was kind of at that point where I was like, I'm either going to be a really, really fat martial artist, or I've got to do something and get myself in check so that I can be the role model I need to be for my students.
Is that what you do full time, Bill? Just the karate?
So I'm a stay-at-home parent during the day. I stay home and take care of my 3-year-old, my 12-year-old, and my 16-year-old. Right now, they're all doing at-home learning. Even my 3-year-old is in virtual preschool right now. So I stay home with them during the day and then I run the karate school at night. But yeah, I opened my school 3 years ago and I quit my job about a year and a half, 2 years ago. Still waiting on a paycheck from myself, but you know, that's the, you know, just the trajectory of business. You got to put in the time before you get paid.
Yeah, you do. I know all about that, Bill. It's a work in progress and it's a labor of love sometimes as well. So, Bill, just going back to talk about your window with your intermittent fasting, were you one of those people that you ate all the things or did you restrict anything like food or alcohol?
I eat all the things. Like I said, I have to restrict gluten and dairy because I can tell if I eat anything with even a small amount of gluten or a small amount of dairy before I, like, especially if we go out to eat and, you know, sometimes I'll get, you know, cheese in my tacos or I'll get a regular bun instead of a gluten-free bun just because it's a little bit better. And before we leave the restaurant, I can feel it in my lungs and it's just not fun. So I really try to avoid it. But other than that, I spent 20 plus years of my working life as a cook and or manager in various levels of restaurants. So good food is a love of mine and it's, you know, really good food is kind of important to our whole family. because most of the time that we spend together is around meals. Yeah, we cook a lot at home, but we don't restrict anything other than the things we all, my whole family, all my wife and all three of our kids have different allergies and intolerances. And you know, that's probably a whole nother podcast to talk about why all of a sudden, you know, the last 20 years, everybody's allergic or intolerant to something. But yeah, good food is important. So, you know, from the very beginning, I loved the idea of IF because I don't have to say I can't have pizza. I don't have to say I can't have a cheeseburger. You know, I can have those things. I have to pay attention to the ingredients and kind of what's in it and that kind of stuff. But if it doesn't taste good, I'm not going to eat it.
Yeah.
And so, no, I don't restrict any foods in my window. If I want it, I eat it. And I know I, you know, kind of had some fun with another IFer in one of the groups I'm in. And I made a comment about, you know, Jen Stevens said, eat whatever you want. And I know that doesn't mean eat whatever you want, but, if my window's open and I want it and it's available, I'm probably going to get it. So yeah, I still have alcohol. I have a lot less alcohol now because my window's typically in the middle of the day and it's just, it's hard to squeeze a drink in, you know, 20 minutes before I have to come here and teach karate classes.
What time do you open your window, Bill?
So it varies almost every day. I do what I call 24-ish. And that is, I'm shooting for 20 hours. Sometimes it's 22, sometimes it's 18, but it's almost always a 4-hour maximum window. And that's just because that's where I feel the most satiated and it gives me enough time to get the food in. The physical activity I'm doing, I probably put away more food than the average IFer in a 4-hour window. So some days I do, you know, I wake up and I do a run in the morning and then I come home and I have, you know, I break fast at 10. That's typically my earliest is 10 a.m.
What about appetite correction? Did that come for you?
You know, I think it did. Again, I think I eat more than the average IFer, but I do a lot more physical activity than the average person as well. So I think that there's days where I do OMAD where I have one meal and it's some days it's literally one plate of food and I'm done and I don't feel like eating for the rest of the day. And other days I eat, I had a day a couple of weeks ago, I ran a half marathon. And I went home, I ran from my house to a restaurant that was exactly 3.1 miles from home. My wife met me for lunch. We had a big taco lunch and then we went home and I had dessert and I was like, okay, that's probably going to be it for the day. And my body said, no, you just ran 13 miles. And I was hungry all the way up until 7 o'clock. But I just kept, I had, like I said, the big taco restaurant meal at 11 o'clock. And then I had, you know, I had a bowl of cereal at 12:30 and then I had a salad at 4 and then I had a bowl of popcorn and then I had a couple of apples. But I just kept feeding myself. And then I think part of it is, my brain and my body have adapted to that 7 o'clock rule really well. And it doesn't matter how hungry I am at 7 o'clock, it seems to just turn off and go away. Which is great because then there's no, I don't have any temptation to eat or drink anything after 7 o'clock most days. The other day, I think I posted it in your groups. I did an OMAD or not an OMAD. I did a 40-hour mealless Monday. And then Tuesday I was hungry all day. I hadn't done a mealless Monday for a couple of weeks because of the amount of running I was doing, but I was hungry all day. And I poured myself a drink at 9 o'clock. I made myself a Manhattan and I was like, this is going to be it. And then I was done and it was good. And so, yeah, I think there's definitely some level of appetite correction there. Because like I said, on the days that I do a little bit less work the day before, I don't feel as hungry the next day and I don't eat as much.
Yeah. What's the appetite with the appetite correction? You talking about mealless Mondays there too. Just tell people what mealless Mondays is, Bill, and how they work.
So mealless Monday, and I know you, I don't know if you've, if the podcast is up yet, but I know you've talked to Roxy Marino. And I started following her mealless Monday posts in the main Delay Don't Deny group. And I was, the first time I was like, oh, this is, you know, what am I getting into? Do I really want to not eat for a whole day? But I said, you know what? I'm going to try it. I'm going to leave the, I always leave myself an out, right? That's again, back to martial arts training. If you're going to get in a fight with somebody, you need to know where your exit is. Because you don't know, you may not win. And hopefully if you're not going to win, you can get away. But so I said, the window's still open, or at least the window's shut, but it's not locked, is what I told myself. If I absolutely have to, I can eat, I can get up and I can eat something and we can just start again tomorrow. It's not a big deal. But that the very first one, it was a little rough. I'd say the hardest point was around the 22 hour mark where I was really tempted to eat. And then I think I was about to eat something and I looked, I just opened up Facebook real quick and she had just posted something that said, hunger is not an emergency. And I was like, okay, if that's not, opportune timing, on a post, I don't know what is, but I said, okay, let's just, and she's, you know, she went through this whole thing and the post said, distract yourself, do this, do that. So I did some push-ups and I did some, you know, did some other things. And that was pretty early. I'd say that my first mealless Monday was only a month in to my clean fasting. And once I pushed past that 22 hour mark, it was so easy. I don't think I had another hunger wave after 22 hours until the, you know, that Tuesday morning when I woke up and I was like, oh, I'm actually a little bit hungry, but I feel really good. So I'm going to push it just a little bit longer. And I made it to 40 hours and I did mealless Monday that exactly that way for 13 weeks straight. Every Monday, stop eating Sunday night, right after, you know, whatever, typically on Sunday we go out to eat. So we'd go to a restaurant, we'd eat dinner, I'd go home, make myself a little bit of dessert and then close the window. But I would always tell myself the same thing. The window's shut, but it's not locked. If it's critical, you can eat. If you feel sick, you can eat. You know, this isn't supposed to be torture. This is supposed to be health.
Yeah, it's listening to your body, Bill, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, yeah, I did mealless Monday. I did that for 13 or so weeks. And then, like I said, the last couple of weeks, I didn't do it because I was running long distances on Sunday and my body was just telling me, no, you're not going to do it. And so I'd leave the window open a little bit longer on Sunday after a long 10 mile run. And then Monday I would go as long as I could, but I never put any pressure on myself that I have to finish a certain number of hours. I have goals, but I don't have to hit them.
Yeah. I've got Roxy Marino coming up on the podcast actually, Bill, and she has some fascinating insights into the mealless Monday, mm-hmm. and her own journey is quite amazing as well. But Bill, you talked about there that you've been a chef and you've worked in restaurants and stuff. What's some simple food choices people can make in their windows? What can they sort of whip together that's going to be really nutritious and fun and it's easy to do? What's sort of some of your go-tos for that?
You know, I love any meal that can be cooked in less than 30 minutes. Like I said, I've got three kids at home. But the best foods are the freshest foods always. So fresh produce, you know, fresh, if you eat meat, fresh meat. If you don't eat meat, you know, I typically try to avoid soy, even though I'm not, I don't have an intolerance or an allergy to it. I just don't like it. But you know, things, the best things to really get you to enjoy your food are things that smell good and things that look good. You know, we have a saying in the food industry that the eyes eat first. And now thanks to Instagram and Pinterest, it's the camera eats first. But yeah, you know, bright colored peppers, you know, they cost a few cents more, but get the orange and the yellow and the red bell peppers, not the green ones. They all taste like bell peppers. But get the colorful foods, because if your eyes are attracted to it, you're going to enjoy the meal more. And then things that can be cooked easily and quickly in 30 minutes. You know, I like meals that can be cooked in one pan or one pot so that I don't have to wash a full load of dishes after making a meal. But you know, as far as food choices, it really, I tell people, you got to eat what you like. If you told me I had to eat cauliflower, anything, every day, twice a day, and I have to eat 4 ounces of it no matter what, I would tell you absolutely not. Get away from me. I hate cauliflower, and I hate things that are made out of cauliflower. My wife and I have a joke because years ago we were on the South Beach diet, and she was trying to be nice. I love potatoes, and she was trying to make me mashed potatoes with cauliflower. So there was no potato in it. It was just steamed and mushed cauliflower. And she knew I didn't like cauliflower, so she didn't tell me before I ate it that it was cauliflower. And I took a bite of it and I went, what is that? It looked like mashed potatoes. It even kind of smelled like mashed potatoes, but it wasn't mashed potatoes. And my mouth knew as soon as it got a tiny taste, I was like, no, get out of here with that. So we still joke about that years later. But I really don't think that, you know, the nutrition, if you're just looking for weight loss, intermittent fasting is enough for most people. You really can eat what you like. You don't have to restrict most of the time. I know there's some people, there's a good amount of people out there that have food issues that they don't know about, that they're, you know, they're intolerant to something, or their body just doesn't process something well. They need to find out what those items are so that they can avoid them, and they can enjoy their fast and their food.
Yeah, I think everybody's different, Bill, aren't they? And for me, as you know, I was a former sugar and fast food addict. So they're things I just had to get out of my life, and I feel much better for it having done that. And, you know, things like bread don't work for me well. So I don't tend to have a lot of bread, but that doesn't mean I never have bread.
Right.
I mean, if I'm at a restaurant, I might have a bread roll, or I might, you know, we go to a friend's house and they bring out some dinner rolls, I'll have one. But yeah, I just think that you just got to work out what works for you and what doesn't. And some people, alcohol doesn't work in their window, and they take that out and all of a sudden it makes a huge difference to their life. So it really is a bit of trial and error. But Bill, you mentioned some of the health benefits you had and you recovered from that incident when you were walking up the mountain there. But what were some of the other non-scale victories or health benefits that you had as well?
Yeah,
that you've noticed?
It's been absolutely amazing. So, you know, like I said, I've been what I call the fat athlete, and I did a lot of things at 300 pounds, or, you know, between 260 and 300 pounds, that people that size probably shouldn't do. And I beat myself up physically a lot for a long period of time. So I had, what I call my normal pain level when I woke up in the morning for most of my adult life was in the 6 to 8 range on a scale of 1 to 10. Every day I woke up in pain on somewhere between a 6 and an 8. And it just became my normal. I was like, wow, you know, that's, you know, my back hurts, my knees hurt. I had really bad plantar fasciitis, to the point where I would come and I would teach, 3 or 4 or 5 classes at night, you know, barefoot, jumping around, doing everything I'm doing. And then I would literally go home and limp to the couch, put my feet up, and I couldn't walk for the rest of the night. I'd wake up in the morning and I'd have to stretch my feet and my hamstrings for 10 minutes before I could walk even semi-normally. And just months, or not months, just a few weeks really into the clean fasting, I noticed that I was walking. I was just getting out of bed and walking. Whereas before, I would wake up and I'd have to stretch in bed before I could put my feet on the floor. And I remember I just woke up one day and I got up and I was like, oh, what's going on? Why don't my feet hurt? You know, I used to be able to kind of subside it with drinking a lot of water, and just staying way overhydrated would help with the pain a little bit. But, with fasting, I have had zero plantar fasciitis pain. My knee pain is completely gone. my knees make a lot of noise when I bend them, but there's zero pain, and my back doesn't hurt. My flexibility has increased, which is kind of important for martial arts. and I'm trying to think what else. So one thing, I did one 60-hour fast, I'd say about 2.5. I'm at 6 months fasting now, by the way. Just passed on the 15th of this month. It was 6 months. And I think I was somewhere between 2.5 and 3 months in. And I was like, I'm going to try this just a little bit longer. I'm going to go see if I can go 60 hours. And it was the weirdest feeling, like not being hungry for a whole day. But not just not being hungry, but being like there was a euphoric feeling. And I've listened to, Jin talk to other people on her IF Stories podcast, and people would say you get this feeling of euphoria, or like, you know, not, it's almost like being high, but not being high. And that's exactly what it was. I hit that 40-hour mark and I kept going, and then there was a little bit of hungry. And then all of a sudden it was just like that. It was the best day ever. I don't want to do that all the time, because I like food and I like, you know, I like being fit, and I need to fuel my body to reach the goals that I want to do. So, but yeah, those are the big ones. The pain is gone. My energy level is through the roof. My hair is still gray. I hear a lot of people talk about gray hair turning back to whatever color it's supposed to be. But I haven't seen that one. My breathing, I can tell, like I said, sometimes I go out to eat and I make the choice to say, no, you know what, I'm just going to get the regular pizza with the real cheese on it today. And I leave the restaurant and I'm like, oh, you know, struggling to breathe just a little bit. But the next day after I'm fasted, it's gone and I'm back to normal. So that's just awesome.
Yeah, that's incredible. I mean, that plantar fasciitis, I've talked to so many people, Bill, and I know my wife, actually, she had it, and then she did intermittent fasting for a while and basically just disappeared. And yeah. I know all these things that we find. And I mean, I went through 20, 30 years probably waking up every day with arthritis in my fingers, barely able to open my hand. And then after sort of 6 or 8 months of intermittent fasting, that completely went away. And you probably heard me talk about the psoriasis I had. That left me completely. And I had chronic psoriasis. And then so many of these things. And I think there's so many advertisements for intermittent fasting. And I just wish we could just compile them all somewhere and people could just look at them, because they're amazing.
Yeah, the health benefits are, you know, so the weight loss is important to me, because it's changed my life, and it's brought me to a level that, you know, most people, I laugh, not laugh condescendingly, but laugh when someone says, oh, I'm trying to get back to my high school weight. And I'm like, oh, I'm trying to get back to my middle school weight, because I was 180 pounds when I was when I was in seventh grade. You know, I was 200 pounds when I was 16 years old. So I'm not trying to get back to my high school weight. I'm trying to get back to my middle school weight. And that was my goal. That was my 180 pound weight goal, was because that's the weight I was in seventh grade when I, kind of as a kid, that's when I accepted that I was just going to be bigger and still do all the things that I love to do and go through that phase. But yeah, it's the weight loss is super important, but just the way it makes you feel is so much more rewarding than really any amount of weight loss I think you could experience. And that's coming from a perspective of, I've lost a lot of weight in the past. Back in 2006, I went from 306 pounds to 188 pounds in less than a year. But I did that through extreme calorie restriction and severe, I was working out, I was exercising, probably 9 hours a day at that point, because I was helping a friend of mine run their karate school back then, and I was teaching so many classes and just exercising nonstop. But it wasn't sustainable. It was never sustainable. But the health benefits, just feeling good, is such an amazing thing, because when you feel good, you're motivated and you're excited to go out and do those things that make you want to get fit and be healthy.
Yeah. How did you feel it affected your karate, Bill? I know the difference between being hit by a middleweight and hit by a heavyweight. How did you feel when you lost that weight? How did that affect your karate?
So one of my big concerns was I don't want to get, I've never been a small person, and I've had to relearn some techniques because now I don't have 300 pounds to throw at an opponent. I don't have 300 pounds or 250 pounds to swing in a circle to help me do that 360 degree hook kick. Whereas before I was able to do it just by momentum. Now I have to do it through proper technique. So I did have to reteach myself a few things and kind of reevaluate certain moves and how to do them. But it's, you know, it's the weight loss and just the feeling better and the no pain and the, you know, I haven't been able to do head height kicks in probably 2 years. Because of my weight and because of the pain in my legs and my back. And now I do them easily. I'm working on my flexibility. I'm hoping to be able to do full splits again by the end of this year, if not the end of this year, sometime next year. So, you know, it's only helped. There hasn't really been a downside to it. I haven't gotten to a point where I feel like I'm a small fighter. And I'm really working now on building muscle so that, you know, my goal is actually to go, my goal was 180 pounds. I dropped below that. I'm floating somewhere right now between 165, 167. And my goal is to put on muscle to get back up to about 175, 180.
Yeah. So exercise, obviously, Bill, is a huge part of your life.
Yeah.
And I know you've recently just started a Facebook group about exercise and fasting. Do you want to tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, definitely. So I was, you know, the group started mainly because I was getting tons of messages. I'm a very open person on Facebook. I talk about, you know, my successes, my struggles, everything that's going on. Pretty much everything I do gets posted on Facebook. And people started asking me, hey, you know, what are you doing? How did you lose so much weight? You know, you look really good. And it's, and I was referring them to the books and to the podcasts and the questions just kept coming and coming, which I love the questions. I love that people I care about is that, you know, if you're on my Facebook feed, it, you know, even if we've never met in person, it means that you're somebody that I care about. You're somebody I know, you know, you've had some impact on my life in some way. So all people started coming to me and asking me questions. And I was like, get, you know, all these messages, and I felt bad because a couple of messages got lost, and I didn't see them and didn't answer somebody's question. So I said, you know, I'm just going to set up this group and see who wants to join and just kind of offer encouragement and motivation. And I was in a few other groups. I still am, but none of them were fitness related. It was all, you know, I'm in a group that's for runners, which is kind of fitness related, but all they talk about is running. And I'm in, I just joined one that's called TRE Autophagy. And they're really in it for the health benefits of specifically of autophagy and how that helps. And I was like, I feel like we need a group that's based on not just intermittent fasting, but that is based on delay, don't deny, and fast, feast, repeat, those philosophies and fitness, because I just felt like that was missing. So I started the group. I started by just inviting my friends and family. And just kind of just as a place to have all their questions in one spot so I could answer them easily. And so that, you know, as you know, with the Facebook group, it's like a snowball effect. Somebody asks a question and I answer it. And then next week, somebody asks the same question. And if I don't see it right away, then the person that I answered says, oh, he just told me this last week and I was trying it and it worked really well. And this is what I've done. Or he told me to do this, or he suggested this and it didn't work for me, so I tried this instead. And it's just snowballing and kind of, you know, everybody's helping everybody. Everybody's encouraging everybody, but we're really focused on the fitness aspect. And, you know, I just posted today, there's a difference between weight loss and fitness. I know a lot of really skinny people that are not healthy. And I know a lot of really big people like myself. And like you've said, your doctor never told you you were unhealthy. You were just big. Right. Yep. And
I was, yeah. And I used to go to the doctors. It used to frustrate them, Bill, because I was 350, 360 pounds. And they'd do all the tests on me. And the doctor would shake his head and say, "This is really weird. Your bloods are so great. Your blood pressure is perfect." He said, "Every marker you have, you're nowhere near pre-diabetic. Your cholesterol's spot on." He says, "How can this even be possible?" But some people that are carrying weight can still be healthy too.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And like, my doctor too said the same thing. You know, I would go to the doctor and he actually a couple of times said, you know, aside from your weight, you're the picture of health. Your cholesterol is good. You're, you know, can't believe you have a 55 resting heart rate when you're 250 pounds. And like I said, I used to smoke. And so how is your heart rate 55 beats per minute, you know, when his, you know, he's a doctor and he's healthy. And he said he jogs all the time and his heart rate's, you know, in like in the high 70s, the low 80s. And I was like, I'm just healthy. I'm healthy because I do stuff all the time. And I'm sure there's some genetic component to it as well. You know, some people have to try harder to be healthy. Some people have to eat certain diets to keep their cholesterol low. And you need to figure that out. But my big thing is, you know, fitness is, like I said, more than just weight loss. Weight loss is a great start to fitness, yeah. Especially if you're overweight. And yeah, I really like your example of you used to hate running. I used to loathe running. It was painful. I couldn't breathe. It hurt my knees. It hurt my feet. It hurt my back for days after I would try to run. And I joked and told people I learned karate so that I wouldn't have to run. But now I love running. Why do I love running now when I hated it 5 years ago? Because I can do it and it feels good.
Yeah. Interesting, Bill, with the running. Yeah, I did hate running, mate. The only time I used to run was at the nose in winter, to be honest. And it was just that one day that when I started feeling good and I'd lost a heap of weight, and I think you probably heard me say it before, I was out on the running track and just walking along and I felt so good. And I just started bursting out into a bit of a jog. And I didn't even know that I could run, Bill. And that's the honest truth. I honestly didn't know that I could run. And I just kept running. And it felt like Forrest Gump. And his, you know, calipers breaking off. And I noticed you've got that Forrest Gump image on your Facebook. And
it's
really
one of my favorite movies. And I was thinking about it the other day. I was just thinking about, because I was running. And I was talking to somebody about the fact that I used to hate running. And I was like, on a philosophical level, I get that movie and just that line. I just felt like running. So I just understand it differently now, because I never would have felt like running. But now when I'm running, it's not painful. That's my time to think about something that, you know, I need to sort out in my head, or it's kind of my therapy time. But the group started off and I just named it Fasted Fitness with Bill McKinney. I was like, I looked and there were a whole bunch of fitness and fasting groups, but most of them are not based on the delay, don't deny, and fast feast, repeat info. And that's, I feel like it's so critical that we focus on that clean fast, and the benefits of autophagy and keeping that positive mentality that just comes across in her writing. So it was important to me to start that. And now, like I said, we're not quite to 100 members yet, but I'm hoping, you know, in a couple of weeks we'll be up to 100. And then, you know, same thing. It just kind of snowballs and takes off. And, you know, I don't know. It might morph into more different things. I don't really know. But right now I'm just having fun encouraging people and pushing people towards taking control of not just their eating, but also taking control of their health and their wellness and their fitness levels. So it's just a lot of fun.
Yeah. With Bill, exercise, Bill, with people around the world, obviously a lot of people are in lockdown and that sort of thing. And what's some basic sort of body sort of weight exercises people can do just to keep themselves ticking over if they can't? How can they improvise?
So little bits all day long is my big recommendation. You don't have to go to the gym and spend 2 hours lifting weight. You've seen my progress pictures. My typical day right now, I wake up in the morning, and as soon as I roll out of bed, I take a drink of water. I keep water by my bed, and I drink probably 5 or 6 ounces of water right away as soon as I wake up. And then I crank out 50 push-ups and 50 sit-ups. And then I'm up, and my day is chaotic because I've got a 3-year-old at home that I take care of. Wake up in the morning, he's usually awake anywhere from 5 to 7 in the morning. It's different every day. So some days I get to get up and go for an early run. And some days, like yesterday, I didn't get to go for a run at all because he woke up super early and it was just a busy day after he woke up. But I love body weight exercises, push-ups, sit-ups, squats, anything you can do, and just movement in general, right? Don't sit down on the couch unless you have to. I like to sit down on the couch at the end of the night. I don't like to sit down on the couch in the middle of the day most of the time. So I'm constantly walking, shooting for, on my non-running days, I'm trying to get to 10,000 steps. On my running days, I'm trying to get to 20. But just constant movement is the biggest thing. And then, the exercises that you're going to want to do are going to depend on your goals. My big focus on fitness, because it's what I do in martial arts and it's what I do for myself, is functional fitness. I don't want to be a 240-pound brick wall of muscle any more than I want to be a 240-pound blob of fat. If I tried to do the movements that I do at 240 pounds of muscle, it would be very difficult, because muscle is more or less stretchy. It takes more effort to stretch muscle than it does to stretch fat.
Bill, are you maintaining?
So yeah, I went past my weight goal, which was completely unintentional. I had no idea that, like, 180 was just a lifetime number. Every time I ever went on a diet, I said, this is it. I'm going to get to 180. And it never happened. So as it was approaching, I was like, I kept going, yeah, but it's going to go back up. And, my weight loss graph looks like a roller coaster or a jagged mountain side. It goes down and it goes up and it goes down. And you could, if you follow the 13 weeks that I did Mealless Monday, I drop 6 pounds every Monday, every Sunday to Tuesday, I drop 6 pounds, and then it would go back up 5, and then it would level out for the week. And then I'd get to Monday and I would drop 6 and go back up 5, and it would level out and it would go up and down and up and down and up and down. So it was like these really, really big drops and then a little spike back up, and then kind of like stairs almost going down. And I hit 180 and I was so excited. I was like, I finally, I'm 41 years old and I weigh what I weighed in seventh grade. And this is just amazing.
And do you find the mindset as much difference maintaining and what it was when you were losing the weight?
No, because I'm spending so much more of my time being active. I'm looking for that opportunity to go out and run 3 miles. I'm looking for that opportunity to, it sounds silly, but I'm looking for a moment where I can take a break and crank out 25 push-ups or do some jump squats, or, I'm just not focused on the food, unless my window's open. And even when my window's open, I'm like, I'm finding myself picking something up. I used to be a grazer. I was a binger and a grazer at the same time. So meals would come and I would eat 2 or 3 helpings of every meal that we made. And then I would graze from in between meal to meal. And I would stand at the pantry with a bag of chips and just eat them. And now I still, because that's a habit, I still find myself picking up the bag of chips. But before they get to my mouth, I'm like, wait, are you hungry? No, you're not hungry. Put it back. Stop doing that. So I'm still, you know, it, that part of the mindset is going to take some time to, you know, replace those habits. But now that's kind of one of the things I'm working on is every time I go and I instinctively grab a snack and I catch myself, I think, okay, what can I do right now that would be healthy, that would be good for me, and, you know, isn't putting those potato chips or that cookie in my mouth. Even if it's in my window, I think, yeah. Am I hungry or am I just looking for something to fill time? Even in my window, I don't want to graze.
So we got to wrap it up in a minute. I just wanted to get you before you go. Maybe just give some final words of motivation. And if a guy like me or you or a lady sitting out there and we're carrying a bit of weight and we're looking to get into exercise and that sort of thing, just give some people some motivation and maybe somewhere a starting.
Absolutely. So my mantra for this year has been get out of your head and into your life. Stop thinking about all the little details. I like the science of IF and I like the data and the information, but the data and the information aren't what make it work. Right. So you don't need to understand it. You don't need to be able to explain it. You need to start living it and experiencing it. If you like the data and you like the science, then by all means do that, follow that. But if you're just looking to get started, the easiest thing to do is to, in my opinion, the easiest thing to do is 7 o'clock at night, water, and that's it. Sparkling water, if you like sparkling water, but no snacks, no drinks after 7 p.m. Start there. And then when you get past those first couple of days and you start to realize how good you feel, you're going to want to push that. You're just naturally going to want to push it a little bit longer. So yeah, that's my mantra. Get out of your head and into your life. Start today, not tomorrow. Don't start after you read the book. Start while you're reading the book. If you're reading the book, if you're listening to the book, whatever you're doing. And find the group that fits your goals. Like I said, I started the Fasted Fitness group so that people who want to focus on fitness can have a community to talk about exercises and post videos of themselves doing exercise and ask for tips and things like that. I'm in another group, that's the Men's Delay, Don't Deny support group. And that one was actually started by Matt Hall. And I was kind of thinking along the same lines of, you know, there's a lot of women in this main group. And not that there's anything wrong with women being in the group, but guys tend to be more private, more closed, and less likely to open up when they're around women. So what if there was a space for men? So he had already started the group and I just messaged him and I said, hey, I saw you started this group. I'd love to help you as a moderator or whatever. And so we've been kind of, you know, helping that group grow. That one's been going pretty well too, but you got to have a community and you have to have support. So those are my two big things or three big things, you know, live your life, enjoy it.
Yeah, I think that's...
find a support group and start right now. Don't wait any longer.
Yeah. I really like that message, Bill. And I think you're a very inspirational person, and anyone that's looking to do fitness with IF, that's probably a good place to look in Bill's group there. But anyway, Bill, I can't tell you what a pleasure it is to talk to you here. And I really appreciate everything that you're doing for the fasting community. And I think as the years go by that you're going to be a rising star in it. So Bill J. McKinney, thank you for joining me here.
Thank you, Graham. And we'll, you know, chat some more and maybe another half year or so, come back and see how progress has come.
Yeah, I'd like to do that, Bill. It's important we follow these things up. And that's why we get a variety of people on here that are just starting halfway through their journey or at the end. So anyway, mate, take care and all the best to everybody there. And
all right, you too. Thank you. Bye.
Oh, thank you so much, Bill. I really enjoyed that chat with you. You're a very inspirational man. And I think for someone that's been doing this journey for 6 months, you have a great handle on things. And I'm looking forward to chatting to you again when we follow you up in 6 months' time. And
Thanks for the exercise tips. I'm going to take a few of those up myself. So next week, guys, we've got the engaging Paige Davidson here on the Fasting Highway. And Paige has just released her book this week, so it's timely. And Paige's book is called Fast with Paige, Health and Healing Practices for Forever Freedom. So coming up on Thursday, that's Paige Davidson. And also, just a reminder that my book, The Fasting Highway, that will be probably out in a couple of weeks' time for those interested. And we'll be doing a bonus episode, and we'll dive into that and tell you what to expect. Okay, until then, be well, be safe. And remember, clean fasting is everlasting.